Hey, welcome to another episode in our podcast, The Leader's Lens. What's up, RC family? This is our opportunity to have a chat on topics that pertain to what's happening at RC, what's happening in the industry, our partnership with Verizon, as well as a variety of topics where we can look at the impact and influence on what we do and how we do it with others professionally and personally, where we get to engage in conversation with an array of RC family members, subject matter experts, and some folks that can share a little perspective, which is where we are today. This is our third episode of Leadership Is. It is what it is. Leadership is not one thing, it's many things. And I'm your host, Kurt Reinhart, your Vice President of Learning and Development. I'm excited today because we get a special guest. We have someone who has come into our conversation about leadership. Someone who has played college football at Cal, selected in the NFL draft by the Seattle Seahawks in 2008. They played successfully time and tenure as running back, finishing his career in 2016, retiring from the Baltimore Ravens. If that wasn't enough, this gentleman has become a Shark Tank entrepreneur and co-founder of Hustle Clean, a personal hygiene solution for to the fast and furious, right? Their mission statement. I love this. We want to build a life-changing brand that powers a personal wellness movement at the intersection of hustle and hygiene. It's my pleasure. It's my absolute pleasure to bring into this conversation Mr. Justin Forsett. Justin, welcome. Dude, how are you? What's up?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Kurt, for having me on. Excited about this conversation. And what a wonderful introduction. So I appreciate you.
Oh, man, I appreciate you right back. Listen, I can't thank you enough for joining us in this chat about leadership, legacy, and life. It's been called Leadership Is, just so you know. So the concept is leadership is not just one thing. It can be many things. In fact, we landed on the statement, it is what it is. And it depends, because it depends on the person that's having the conversation and the person in the leadership role. So the idea here is that if there's not one definition for leadership, if there's not one formula, then what are some things that we can talk about, right? There's no one size that fits all. Leadership can be many things. So I want to start there, my friend. I want to start there and ask you, what is your definition of leadership?
Man, that's a great question. I've been around a lot of great leaders throughout the course of my life as an athlete and also as an entrepreneur. And what I would say is that leadership is the ability to influence and drive people or groups towards a common goal, and in a way that has impact in their lives, whether it's, you know, in the business or out of the business or on the field or off the field. It's just the ability to really drive and have impact in people's lives in a meaningful way. So that's where I look at leadership.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because when, you know, that is the central definition of leadership, is to guide and influence, right? It's our opportunity to be in front of somebody and to help them see a path. Sure. And so when we think about that, and you just gave your definition, what are some things that you would say were some key characteristics? Like, if you had to pick, not your top 10, I don't want to do that to you. That's weird. But if you had to pick a couple characteristics of what leadership is that led you to that definition, what are a couple things that you could share with someone right now that's listening? They're driving to their store, they're working with their teams, they're working through life. What are some characteristics about leadership? What are some things you would pick out?
Man, the first that jumps right out at to me and in my mind is humility.
Yeah.
You think about somebody that's leading a group of people or leading someone, you have to be really selfless, and you have to exude humility and just being humble, genuine, authentic, because you have to be, in order to lead someone, you have to be able to relate to that person. You have to be able to gain their trust. And the fastest way to gain someone's trust for them to follow you is just through humility and service. So that's the first one that I think of when I think about leadership, because you know you can be very proudful and boastful and not have impact or have influence. So I would then say somebody that walks the walk. So it's not somebody that's just barking orders or telling you what to do. There's somebody that's in the fight with you. So after they're giving the instructions, or they're giving the guidance, or they're giving the influence, they themselves are joining you within the fight. So I say great leaders, they know the way, they show the way, and they go the way. So a great leader must know information. They're smart, they're wise, they're great students of their game and their industry. And then they must be able to share, they must know it well enough, the information well enough, to be able to then go show it to whoever is following them, who's ever on their team or within their organization. And then at the end, after all the coaching and the learning, they themselves must go out and do the work. So I don't think that can be overlooked by any means. I think a lot of people, they see these, whether it's entrepreneurs or athletes or coaches, that will bark orders and just tell people to go out while they sit back. But the great leaders, the leaders that I look up to and had in my life, they're not only giving you the guidance that you need, but they're actually putting in the work. So that's what I would say. Top of my head.
Man, that's good. That's great stuff. I mean, some of the things you said, you immediately reminded me of John Maxwell, who said, it's very similar to what you said about leaders are the ones that know the way, go the way, show the way. I'm messing that up so bad. So much better. So I'll let you be the one that said that today. But I think there's such importance of us as leaders to understand that we can't just say do this without our capacity and ownership of doing it as well, to walk alongside. And I think that's a very powerful message, I think, for our leaders to hear today. So thank you for that. Now, can you think, I mean, we all have leaders. I had a guy, oh man, I worked for Ralph Lauren for a couple of years, and I had a leader that just did not, oh, I didn't respect him, man. And the thing is, even though I didn't respect him, he showed me still a way to not do something. So I want to challenge you with that. Do you have a leader, either good or bad? I shouldn't just put it down the path of, can you think of a bad leader? Can you think of someone that was a leader that showed you something that you've just owned as you went into life?
Yeah, I think about, some of the great coaches that I've had. I've had a lot of great coaches, the ones that have gone on and won Super Bowls, but they've done it in different ways.
Sure.
So I started off with a guy like Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren, who was a massive man, he's around 6'8". He has this big demeanor, old school coach, fiery, a lot of yelling, but he knows how to get the job done, right? He puts in the work, very smart. And then I go to a guy like Tony Dungy, who's very quiet, humble. When he doesn't have to say much, but when he does say something, it's impactful and it's meaningful. And you want it to try, you want it to run through a wall for somebody like him. And when I think about Tony, and what I take now, even as an entrepreneur, is just his unique ability to just be so personable, no matter the level of success that he's been able to attain or the position that he held as the head coach and leader of the organization. He just always made himself accessible, and there wasn't like this huge hierarchy, right? Like it wasn't a door closed policy. He didn't treat himself as if he was above everyone else. He was down there with us. Some coaches I would walk by in the hallway and they would be head down and they wouldn't even acknowledge you. But Tony was really keen about the little things, the details, the small things, small gestures that were very impactful, that built trust and loyalty. And it was just him walking in the hallway and say, "Hey man, how you doing, Justin? Saying my name, saying good morning, whether it's at lunchtime, we're at a table and he's coming down to sit with you and chat, ask you about your family, ask you about your wife and your kids, which was something that I hadn't experienced in that point in my career. And it really just like, man, if I want to lead, I want to embody some of those great characteristics that Tony had, because much like him, I'm one of guys that, you know, I don't speak a lot, but when I do, I wanted to be impactful. And I was one of those guys that I'm going to lead by example. If you think about football and some of the popular athletes of all time, some guys like Ray Lewis that had the ability to, you know, lead and give fiery speeches and motivations and, you know, was very talkative, whether it's on the field or off the field. I wasn't right. that guy. I was one of those guys that I was going to put in the work and I was going to let that speak for myself. So that's what really resonated with me, and something that I take with me to this day. And it was a great just lesson on just like humble servant leadership. And that's kind of the method that I kind of follow. And if you, I don't know if you want a negative or kind of a.
Well, you know, yeah, maybe a little bit. Sure.
Yeah. If there was, you know, something I learned from maybe a leader or a coach that I don't take with me is, I would say, just lack of accountability from the leadership position. You know, it's important when you're leading or influencing people or organizations that you are vulnerable and humble enough to admit when you're wrong, to hold yourself accountable, to That's let people good. Know. It's like, man, I'm not perfect. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm like you. I'm trying to figure this thing out, but I will get the answers. You know, I'm going to do the work to get the answers for you. But when I make a mistake, I'm going to fess up to it, because that's also a way to build unity. Also another way to build chemistry is to be able to say, hey, man, I dropped the ball here. I'm going to be better. I understand that. And when you hear a leader say that, you're like, OK, this is somebody that I can ride with, because he's going to be able to admit when he's wrong. And I've been around some leaders and coaches that couldn't admit that. It was always placing blame or shifting blame somewhere right. else. And you don't want to play for anybody like that. You don't want to work with anyone like that. It doesn't foster an environment of you know, togetherness or unity or synergy. So that's one thing that I try to make sure that if I make a mistake, one in front of my team, that I'm there and I'm open, I'm honest that, hey, I'm going to get better here. I made a mistake, and I'm going to put it into work.
Man. That's gold. I mean, if you're listening right now, I know that some of the DSMs are there. Just so you know that when we do this podcast, we have a group of leaders in the field, and there's quite a few of them, right? And they deal with issues each and every day, and they're driving teams all over the US. And right now they just heard some solid gold, dude. I'm just going to throw some stuff out just because I've been writing some notes and I want to make sure people heard what you said. Humility, right? Being servant leadership focused, walking the talk, walking alongside our team members, sharing, showing, right? The way, and then going the way yourself. Do the work. I love that part, right? Don't be afraid of doing the work. Be accessible and down to earth. I love that part. It's the little things, right? The little gestures each and every day where we can connect with our people on a personal level. Even just saying their name. I love, you know, it was so subtle. And yet when you said, he knew my name, I could see in your face, you were saying, and that meant something to me. Ask about the family. When you want to say something that matters, right? Think about what you want to say. Find your authenticity in what you say and how you say it. I love the fact that you also talked about someone who may not have a lack, or who may have a lack of accountability and not own up to the things going on in their life. This has been amazing. So this, just to be clear, this episode, I'm going to sort of pivot here a little bit. Talk about milestones. Because I think what you've identified is some leadership characteristics And now it's about what shapes us, right? I want to talk about milestones. Mm-hmm. So here's just for a little context. Let me share a couple things about myself. So number one, my faith. I'm a believer and I walk that walk as best as I can. And it's never perfect. Sure. But that's one thing that is a milestone for me is when I accepted that faith, like walk. My wife and kids, right? My family. They teach me what I do well and what I don't do so well. Thank goodness for my wife, right? She's very clear about that sometimes. Another topic, another day. Also, starting my own business. I was an entrepreneur myself. I started a consulting business, so I can appreciate where you went in your career. That was a big milestone in my life. I would also say that when I was diagnosed with cancer, that was a big thing for me.
Mm.
It changed how I looked at life and how I looked at what I was doing and how I did it. And then lastly, working through addiction. I will tell you that shaped who I am today because I was able to see where I was in recovery and truly embrace my purpose in life. So, Justin, I really just want to ask you if you're, you know, where you want to go and how you want to go and what you want to share and how you want to share it.
Yeah.
What are some milestones for you? What has shaped Justin Forsett?
Well, one, that's an amazing list that you have there, Kurt. I would say, you know, just like you, my faith would be number one, center me, guides me throughout this crazy journey we call life. Don't know where I'd be without it. Then I would also say, there was a moment when I was a young kid where we were, you know, as a family, financially unstable. And I remember being a homeless in a motel with my family and didn't know, you know, when we were going to make it out or how things were going to shape out for us. But I remember in that moment, just thinking to myself and declaring to myself that this moment wouldn't define me or this moment was going to push me closer to my dream. And that I didn't want my family, my future family, to ever have to deal with something like this. So I use it as fuel to help me push closer towards, you know, eventually becoming an, you know, NFL athlete and now entrepreneur. So that was a big pivotal moment for me. I would then also say, you know, making it to the NFL was a moment of, you know, not necessarily heartache, but just, man, knowing that, you know, it really taught me that, you know, hard work does pay off. And me being committed and being disciplined, like it had a reward, and that was the reward for that. I would also say throughout the course of my career, I faced a lot of adversity. I was fired 6 times throughout the course of my career, and all those moments kind of really taught me some great lessons. But what I would say was a pivotal moment for me was when I made the Pro Bowl after all those firings and being cut and being released and battling injuries and things like that, was when I made the Pro Bowl in 2015. It was my 7th year in the NFL. And I was 28 years old, which was uncommon, unheard of, right? This is like, I'm a grandpa at 29 at my position. People don't make it that far. And then I'm having my best season in the latter days of my career. And what that taught me is that a dream deferred is not a dream denied. That makes sense. And like, you know, I wanted the instant, you know, success when I got into the NFL by, you know, want to be applauded by my teammates and my peers. I wanted to be acknowledged as one of the best. But it took me a while. It took me overcoming obstacles. It took me going under pressure and fighting rejection and heartache and disappointment. But when I got to that moment and making it to that point that I always prayed for and wanted and desired, it was just like, man, those moments really shaped me to get to this point, to make it to this really inflection point within my career. And I needed that. I needed that. So that dream was only deferred. It was not denied. It just took a little bit longer, took a little bit of a winding road to get to that point. But it was so much sweeter. getting to that point when I did. And because of that journey, it really allows me to go out and share and inspire and encourage people to not give up on their dreams.
Good.
And allows me to do what I do now as a as an entrepreneur and professional speaker really help people reach their potential. So those moments, I would say, really, really, really shaped me.
Wow. So I'm actually living a dream right now, just so you know. I'm talking to a professional athlete who has, let's not mince words here. There's very, very few people that get into the NFL, right?
Sure.
It's an elite group. And while knowing you, the limited amount of time I know you, I know that you wouldn't consider yourself elite in that, in like a mindset, but I understand that you excelled in a sport to a point where you were able to compete at that elite status. So, and it's so cool to hear you say things like, I had to persevere through being fired. And I think that's relatable to anyone. It doesn't matter if you're in the NFL or if you're driving to a store in Wyoming. Right now, you're thinking, I don't feel like I'm on the top of my game. And for you to say what you're fighting right now, the heartache and disappointment you may be fighting, is fueling you and cultivating you into your dream. And I think that's a powerful message for people to hear about leadership, is that where you are now is not where you're going to be. Just keep fighting. Keep the dream and keep pushing forward. So, I mean, if you had one last mission, or not mission, I shouldn't say that. If you had one last statement or two that you would want to tell someone right now, they're looking at their leadership. Maybe they're not at the top of their game. Maybe they're trying to figure out what to do next. And you want to just say to them right now a couple things on what to do to stay, just like you did, to persevere and to be resilient and to overcome and to use what you're going through right now as a catalyst for your success in the future. What are a couple things you would share with everyone that might be listening right now?
Yeah, after just hearing you break down just this conversation that we're having right now, which has been awesome, it really triggered me as I'm thinking about leadership and I'm thinking about people that may be struggling or fighting as hard as they can to have the success or to reach the success that they desire. And it can be very, you know, it can be very tiresome. It can be the struggle and the fight can be weary and draining and almost paralyzing to a point if you're not tied to something strong. And I think that we have this idea that when we're fighting, that we have to do it alone. And that's, yes, we need to do the work. We need to be to do the preparation in order to receive the breakthrough that we're looking for within our careers or within our lives. But after you're done fighting, after you've done all the punching and kicking that you could do, and you feel like you got to give up, it's time to tap in some of your people within your community. It's time to tap into some of your people that's in your circle that can also help you in the fight. So when your arms get tired, they can come in and you can tap them in. I think that's important because when we're struggling and we're fighting, the mental battle can be very fatiguing and very detrimental because we start coming up with these narratives on why we're not having the success that we desire at that point in time. And we can start creating these false narratives that aren't even true. And the reason why we would need a community that could do life with us to help us during this time is because they'll come in and help combat these lies that we're telling ourselves. So when we say, man, I don't feel like I can go anymore. I want to give up. Like it's not worth it anymore. These are the people that come into your life and remind you who you are and whose you are. These are the people that are going to say, hey, man, if you said that you're going to go back and get an extra certification, you're going to do some extra work after the business is closed, after your 9 to 5 is done to help propel you in your career and you feel like you're tired, I'm going to come out there with you. I'm going to give you some coffee. I'm going to give you some donuts and we're going to finish complete whatever assignment that we said we're going to complete, because when you win, we win. We all need each other. Iron sharpens iron. So those moments that really occurred when you said it's like, man, we got to fight and overcome and persevere. I think about throughout my journey, I never did it alone, because we can't do it alone. The isolation is where where dreams go to die, and where our goals go to die, our milestones go to die, is in isolation. There's no success in silos. We got to make sure that we're connected to people that are like-minded, that are driven, that are motivated, that are going to push us when those times hit. So that's what I would encourage this group that are really trying to be more and do more throughout their course of their career and their lives, is just to make sure that you're not doing it alone.
So you don't know this, but I do quotes of the day every day.
Okay.
And every day I'm motivated by something that I read or I hear, or I'm in some sort of situation and I pull something away. Dude, you just gave me something that I cannot wait to write about tomorrow, which is isolation is where dreams go to die. I mean, I cannot relate more to that myself in my own personal journey, when I realized that the moment that I started to put myself on a pedestal, do it all, say it all, be it all myself, was the minute that I started to diminish my capacity to be even better, because I did it alone. I did it on my own way, my way or the highway, all of that stuff that comes into play. And there's just something that you just said, isolation is where dreams go to die. That is a tremendous way for all of our leaders to look at the community that we have around us. There's a phrase that we use, Justin, called better together. It's a phrase that I stole from one of my consulting day gigs, my keynote speech from a long time ago. And I brought it to Russell Sellier, thinking that this is an opportunity for us to understand that walking alongside one another, the person on your right, person on your left, matters more than just walking alone. And we are truly better together. So, dude, you just awesome. I cannot thank you enough for today's conversation. Now, I don't want to tell anyone, but I want to tease everyone, but we're going to be hearing from you again soon.
Yeah.
And we'll have the opportunity to hear you share more wisdom and some of your life with us. So for right now, I'm going to thank you. Justin Forsett, thank you for hanging out with me and talking about leadership, talking about some of your experiences, your insight, the way you look at leadership, the way you look at life. I am so blessed and thankful for the time that you've been able to give me today. Thank you, sir.
No, Kurt, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. It's an exciting, you know, really thought-provoking conversation. And I'm excited to what's ahead. And till we meet, be blessed.
Absolutely, my friend. Blessings to you and your family and all that you're going through. Listen, to everyone listening right now, to the Leader's Lens, this is our podcast where we talk about what leadership can look like. We have one more episode in this series, but for right now, I am full. My glass is full, and I'm thankful for our guest today, Justin Forsett, NFL player, entrepreneur, and just a heck of a guy. So thank you, sir. For all of you out there listening, I thank you for what you do each and every day, for who you are and who you are becoming, for what you do and how you do it. You are a blessing to this RC family. We are truly, truly, truly better together because of each and every one of you. So with that, I will sign off and say, have an awesome, awesome day. Cheers.